good morning. 9:21 on this Halloween Monday, October 31st. Got a nice one going. Enjoy it. Mostly sunny right now, 39 degrees. And our Monday talk round continues, and as promised, talking with representative from District 25 here, Cindy Schreiber-Beck, in studio with us this morning. Cindy, good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here on this great day.
Always good to see your smiling face here. Well, you've been busy out there on the campaign trail. How's that been going?
Campaign trail, right. There's a long trail. and I've been actually on the trail since the primary. So it's been a lot of work, been a long season. Signs are ripped up. That's, you know, the weather's been a little hard on my signs. Yeah. I have to commend some others that absolutely have nicer signs than I ended up with. So, but yeah, it's been a long trail. I've been out in a lot of the small towns. I sometimes think mailing is as effective after this COVID piece. And I live in the country. I don't answer my door. So
that's a good point, though, when you bring up the COVID thing. Yep. That kind of changed things, too, for the way you're doing things.
It does. It does. And if mailers get into the house, at least, when we leave mailers brochures at doors and such, we never really know where they go.
Yeah.
And especially when we have about 40-mile-an-hour winds. So... but it's fun. It is fun, and it's the way to talk to the people. And I always said I'm accessible, and I always have my number and contact information on anything I send out. So if you haven't heard from me and you want to talk to me, don't hesitate to give me a call.
So, Cindy, what's the feedback been when you've been out there? What are people concerned about right now?
I would say number one issue is property tax. And there is some legislation that's been proposed to address property tax. And essentially what it does is pay more on the school side, on the education side for K-12, and then so that the locals aren't actually paying for that. So it would pay up to beyond 70% of what those school costs are.
Okay.
And it varies a little bit district by district just because of mills and different things like that. So it's generalities that I'm talking. But, that was tried, I believe it was in 2013, had a very similar bill. One of the issues with that is making sure that the valuations, it's tough to control. We don't want to necessarily control local. I don't think legislators do. They want local control, whether it be, through our counties. And they're controlling valuation in mills.
Right.
So, we can't necessarily step on those toes either. And we all know that costs are increasing, whether it's in education, whether it's in taking care of infrastructure for each community. So it is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
That property tax, I don't think the state can just pick up the tab totally.
Right.
But they can assist in multiple ways. And prior to that, I think that when they did the human services and health, that took a big chunk out of the budgets that the counties were paying.
Well, in the timing, you look at the timing of this, too, with inflation on the rise, too, and then you get hit with the property tax. That's kind of like a double whammy.
It is a double whammy.
Yeah.
And, inflation piece, and it's talked about. And again, we're looking at a more federal level piece than we are a state level piece. But inflation, it hits everybody the same.
Yeah.
And so hopefully when we look at it as far as salary increases at the state, and if we're looking at inflation or if anybody's looking at it, every individual that's at that place of business or employed by government is getting the same amount for that inflation increase. So it shouldn't be by a percentage of the salary.
Right.
I believe wholeheartedly that milk costs a salaried person getting $45,000 is paying the same for milk as a salaried person getting $100,000. So that should be an equal inflationary increase for everyone.
That's a good point. What about infrastructure? What's your take on that when you look at North Dakota as a whole?
As a whole, we obviously need improvement in infrastructure. Now, the western part of the state has had a lot of money put into it, and rightfully so, for oil. But agriculture is one of our, as far as I'm concerned, our largest stable industry in North Dakota.
Sure.
But interestingly enough, both of those industries, oil and ag, are commodities, priced. So it's always tough. But from a township, county level, we actually really need to put some dollars back into our infrastructure. Bridges, roads, water management, any of those, we need to ensure that we can have great transportation across the areas where ag is premier.
Mm-hmm.
And it has caused some issues. And so we really need to seriously look at that. And townships have always kind of been on the short end of the stick,
right,
along the way. And if you talk to county commissioners, they would certainly like to see that bucket fill, if we call the prairie dog,
sure,
bill, and get that bucket filled up and fill it again as often as we can. And of course, that's dependent on oil. So it's
kind of
again,
a slippery slope,
it's,
right?
It is a slippery slope. It is. We can't, they didn't guarantee that your buckets were going to fill, and they haven't in cases. So whether it's for the counties and townships or aviation, I'm a strong advocate of aviation.
Sure.
And our bucket hadn't filled either. So we're even behind counties and townships. So hopefully this year our bucket will fill. And in those cases, you really need some of that money there, because federal, whether we like it or not, the feds come in and they supply money for projects, and you need to have some matching funds available.
Absolutely.
So that's critical, that we ensure that those matching funds are available.
Cindy, we're going to take a quick break for news. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of the key issues coming up in the election, too, which is term limits. We're going to discuss that with you, too. And I want to get your take on the recreational marijuana thing, because there's a chance that could pass, too. We are talking with Cindy Schreiber-Beck, our representative here from District 25. We're going to take a short break for news, and we'll be back. It's the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning. Good morning. 9:35. Got the sunshine. We're up to 40 degrees right now on this Halloween Monday. And again, if you're going out with the family and the kids tonight, have a safe and happy Halloween out there trick-or-treating. Well, we are talking today about things going on in Bismarck with Representative from the 25th District, Cindy Schreiber-Beck, in studio with us. Cindy, again, thanks for stopping by and having this chat with us this morning. I know you're kind of busy this time of year.
Kind of busy, but, Halloween's a great day, too, so
right.
I was really pleased to be here. Happy Halloween to everybody, in case I forget to say that.
All right. Cindy, let's talk. We promised to come back and talk about a few things, too, that are on your mind. The number one thing is term limits. Give me your thoughts on this.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for the question, because that is on my mind. I think there's been a lot of confusion out there about what term limits we're actually talking about. We're talking about the state legislators and the governor. I hear the ad for the term limits, and they talk about career politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Your state legislators are anything but career politicians. There's no way they could survive on the salary that we actually are. We vote on our salary, obviously, or what we receive, but it's minimal. In a legislative year, with the insurance, we have the benefit of the state paying our insurance. In a legislative year, it's probably just under
$30,000. Mm-hmm.
But in a non-legislative year, the actual dollars plus the insurance is around $7,000. So we are not well paid per se for the service that hopefully that the people think that they're receiving. So we aren't career. There's very few of us that are career. And if you look at the days that we serve, and this is possibly not known to a lot of people, but the legislature only meets once every 2 years.
That's right.
So in that meeting time, we are restricted to basically 80 days, unless there's a special session. But 80 days of meeting, and so you meet every other year in an 8-year span, which is what they are putting in for those term limits, that's 320 days, and you're fired. So they say, well, then you can go to the Senate. Well, in essence, it really doesn't matter that 320 days. You're not very effective in 320 days or that first even year. I always say it takes that first year to find where the bathrooms are. So, we do get our mileage. Yes, we do get hotel accommodations or some type of living expense when we're out in Bismarck for the session. But those are expenses we're incurring ourselves anyway. So they should be, they're just provided for us. Research also shows, if people have time to research this, that those legislators or the states that have term limits, they overspend in the appropriations. And I think it's because there's no history there and they're not familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you look at the turnover in the legislature right now, legislative management or council just looked at this. And from the 2001 to the 2000 legislative session, which would be the 8 years, 86 legislators left office or were defeated. That's a turnover percentage of 61%.
Right.
And then you jump to 2009 to 2015, which is, again, another 8 years. 90 legislators left or were defeated. That equals a turnover percentage of 64%. So that's well over half. And from 2017 to 2023, there's, you know, we don't have the stats totally, but at least 98 legislators left or are leaving office, and it's a turnover percentage of 70%. So, you know, we're not quite sure of that because the election hasn't been held yet, and it could be even more than 70%.
Right.
So this, you know, in my mind, there's no need to pass this term limit. If you were looking at term limits, and especially the way our legislature is run today with that every other year, I would certainly go out to maybe 16 years if you had to have term limits. But it's that this will affect how business is conducted in the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
The other pieces that have come out is essentially those that are going to know what's going on are either the agency people
mm-hmm.
or the lobbyists. So you're going to have to be relying on those entities in order to be successful and legislate, because there's no way that you could possibly in the 8 year period have the type of history it takes to make good decisions.
Good point. And Cindy, let's get to something else that I know is sort of top of mind for you, and that's education.
Oh, definitely. Education. I just returned from the School Board Association meeting. You know, and I've had the question just recently, well, how come the state isn't totally funding education? Well, you know, we're doing pretty good with that 70%. New legislation that's being proposed is, again, we're going to increase the amount, and it's related, again, we talked about that property tax piece, but increase that amount, and that will increase the funding. It really won't increase the funding. It'll just decrease property tax. So the schools are still going to get the same amount of money. So that's
a win-win,
right.
Basically.
It's a win-win. I mean, it helps the local level. We don't want to control the local districts per se. We do a lot recently in the last, since I've been in the legislature, we've done a lot for competency-based or individualized education. And we're not mandating that the schools pick that up or the districts, but we're offering those because we're student-focused.
Mm-hmm.
The state has a vision for education in North Dakota, and it's not done by just the Department of Public Instruction. A lot of people have come together to form a strategic vision, and that strategic vision should be our framework for what we do, especially on the policy side.
Mm-hmm.
It entails career exploration for, you know, K-12, good teaching staff, and it just goes on. And it's all listed on the website of the Department of Public Instruction. And that's always interesting to look at. I've been an advocate. I was a former speech and language pathologist and taught in the schools for a number of years. And I'm a proponent of early education. I worked with children that were 3-year-olds, up to 21-year-olds, actually. And the earlier that we can circumvent any issues that a child is having, the less probably dollars than if you want to look at it as dollars we're going to be spending as they progress through our system.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense to really come forward and look at those early years. And some people think that we're, you know, cradle to grave. It's not. It just makes a lot of sense. If you break an arm,
it's preventative.
You break an arm, you don't wait 3 years to fix it,
mm-hmm.
right? If you can identify there's an issue, let's not wait 3 years. We had a lot of issues, and we still have mental health, whether it's our students or whether it's our staff. And so we need to address that completely. Last session, there was a bill brought forward. I was working with Senator Joan Heckman on it, and it involved training our staff to work with students to identify mental health issues and suicide prevention. That's available free of charge to the schools right now. And I'm pretty sure that Wahpeton is using Cognito. It's a program called Cognito, And it's through the Human Services Department, or Health and Human Services now, and it's available to the schools. And, you know, we are very cognizant of the fact that we have a lot of mental health issues. And I think the this week, in fact, is Recovery Reinvented also.
Right.
Up in Grand Forks. The governor and our first lady are hosting that. And I can't remember which day, if it's Wednesday or Tuesday, but it's free of charge. It's online. And I would recommend that people actually take the time to at least listen to some of the great speakers that are going to be there.
Sure.
But from an education standpoint, there's going to be a lot of bills coming forward that some we probably don't want to see on critical race theory, and others are going to be very beneficial for our students. I like to remain student focused.
Fantastic. Well, and it sounds like something you're obviously passionate about. In the time we've got left, let's cover this, Cindy. Recreational marijuana, where are we at with that?
Oh, where are we at? where are we at with that? I have, you know, from a workforce side, I have reservations about recreational marijuana. In talking to Colorado legislatures, and now the proposal is far different than what Colorado has as far as what their legalization and what their rules are. But what happened in Colorado from a workforce perspective was their manufacturing industries took a huge hit. And the legislators that I spoke with, and this is a number of years ago already, said that it was related to the fact that nobody trusted their quality control.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
It makes sense,
I mean,
yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Cause and effect, yeah.
Cause and effect. And, you know, that's one issue. And obviously we have a lot of other issues that we would be facing. Right now we are probably, the number is short, 40,000 people in our workforce related to whether it's child care, retirements, COVID yet, just numerous things. But when we look at that and when we look at if we're drug testing, which, you know, you probably would be.
Sure.
Most industries, maybe insurances require it. And here we are with a very, very limited workforce and source of people. And then, you know, if we put recreational marijuana, we pass that. I have a lot of concerns about it.
All right.
So I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I know how I'm voting.
All right. Cindy, pleasure having you in here. Some great information and a great conversation. Good luck out there. Good luck in the election. And if elected, you're going to come back in here and give us updates, right?
Oh, I certainly will. Yes.
Cindy Schreiber-Beck, good to have you in here, Cindy. It's 9:46 here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.